have a hunger for prayer. And Lord, I pray that as he shares today, that he would inspire us and that your word would just come forth with power and with strength, clarity, conviction, Lord God, that you would anoint him by your Holy Spirit here today to speak for you, Lord God. That it would not just be his words, but it would be your words coming forth through your power and your spirit. Bless him and use him, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as Pastor John mentioned, my topic is our struggle with prayer. And, you know, the fact is that, you know, I'm actually excited to talk about this because, you know, being a leader in one of the prayer groups, prayer is important. And we've got a great group of people here that pray for this church every week. And I want to thank them for continually to be a part of that because, as all of us know, to actually become strong in prayer requires commitment. It requires a belief. It requires a strength and faith. And it requires a lot of character to continue to walk in prayer. And that's the thing that, as a church, you know, we get on Thursdays, depending on, you know, people's schedules and stuff like that, we get anywhere from 3 to 10 people that show up. But there are several people who are very faithful. And if I can't make it, I can always depend on someone to be there to cover for me. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the support as a prayer warrior for this church. Our job, and each and every one of us, we pray for each and every one of you. And we look at those prayer requests that are coming up every week, and we cover those prayer requests. And the thing is that it we've seen the victory. We've seen, now you could take prayer and you can say, well, that could have happened anyway. But you know what? As a prayer group, we give the glory to God every single time. I don't care if it's coincidental. I don't care what. I believe that God answers prayer. And I think that if we believe that God answers prayer, that those prayer groups would be packed. So I think that, you know, and I realize the schedule is different, but if you can't make it every week, try to make it at least once a month. You know, try to support what we are trying to do to build this church, to get the ministries and to encourage people. And we encourage each other all the time. So I'd just like to throw that out there at everybody that you don't have to be a regular, but come and support us periodically. Come, not just us, support the church, because that's what we do. We're praying for you. Amen? So what I'm going to talk about, some of the things that make our prayers fail and hopefully lead us to a more successful prayer life. Because, you know, it's important that we understand our intentions when we pray and how they line up with God's will. So I think the first thing that comes up, and a lot of this is going to be reinforced by what Pastor John spoke already, because as I was going through the scriptures that I was going to use, he's used every prayer scripture there was in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm going to be repetitive on some of those scriptures. So first of all, I think the thing that we struggle with a lot is the fact that we don't expect God to answer our prayer. I mean, a lot of times we go through prayer, we pray, and we don't see results, and so we get frustrated, we get discouraged, and sometimes we just turn it off. The devil has a scheme, by the way, to make us doubt God's faithfulness in answering prayer, and that he even cares for us. You know, he will convince you, because you're praying and you're not getting your prayers answered, that, well, he must not care, you know. But that's not true at all. You know, there is a purpose. There's a bigger picture than we can grasp as an individual. There is a spiritual realm out there that we need to come in contact with, or that we come in contact with, and sometimes we don't even realize it. And they're out there messing with our lives. Those evil spirits are out there laying traps for us so that we will not pray, because they will make us feel that we are unworthy and that we can't be a prayer warrior for God because we're full of sin. And that's true, but we need to counter those with some our own statements against him so that he realizes that while we know we fail, yet God prevails in us. And that we can succeed. And we need to make those statements in our mind on a regular daily basis. Because every moment that we're not praying, and we can't be praying all the time because we have work and everything else, the devil is laying something in our path to trap us, to make us feel that we aren't. That we aren't people of God. Okay? And I believe that he has convinced many of us that we are left to our own devices because he's not going to help us. I think most of us agree that many of our prayers are a request for God to overcome some life issue. Either, you know, we have people that are sick and you know, or family members that are not serving God, and we want all of these things to really come to bear. And we want God to answer those prayers. We have an expectation that because he's all-powerful, because he loves us and that he cares, that he will answer every prayer that we put out there. Well, we really need to realize that, you know, we sometimes, some of our prayers are pretty frivolous, and, you know, we want to ask for things that maybe we don't really need or that aren't part of God's will. And yet, while we may pray frivolously, I say continue to pray. Pray, because prayer will lead you somewhere to some victory that God is going to give you an answer to. And as you gain victory, you're going to understand more of what God's will is, and you'll start praying more for what God wants instead of what you want. Sometimes we will hit the mark, and somebody will receive a healing. And that should be always our expectations when we open our mouth in prayer, is that somewhere along the line that things will change, someone will change. And we can attest in our prayer group that we've seen many things, and I'll say that some of those are healings that we didn't expect, that most people wouldn't expect. And we have some people that are alive today that shouldn't be. And I do believe that that's because of faithful prayer. You know, when Jesus came, there was an expectation by the Jews that he was going to be their earthly king and redeem them from slavery and servitude. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that he did come to redeem them, but from the slavery of their own sin that they were living in. And their bonding, or being bound up, by that sin. But he was not the king that they thought he was going to be. So they refused him and they didn't accept him as who he came to be, their savior. In some ways, I think we are like that when we pray. We don't accept the results that God, because God did not answer the prayers that we have put before him. And because he doesn't answer the prayers that we put before him, we tend to say that, well, either he doesn't love us or God doesn't care. We need to be careful that we don't charge God like Job did. You know, Job 30:20 says, "Job complained, 'I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me.'" You know, Job was a man of God. God had to rebuke him, and he finally came around to understand. But the fact is that we don't want to get like that. But we do, don't we? We tend to pray, and we find ourselves praying through all things, and yet we don't seem to get the answers. The truth is that, and oh, I'm sorry, but when we look at, we kind of look at God sometimes the way the world does, or we pick up on this little tidbit where it says, "How can a God who loves you condemn you to suffering in hell?" You know, if you pick up on that little thought and you let it dwell in your mind, it's going to affect your prayer life, because now you're going to think, well, God doesn't care, so I'm not going to pray anymore. We need to get to a place where our faith is strong and solid in the belief that God is God, He is who He is, and that God has a purpose for our lives as well as everybody in this church. And there's none of us that cannot pray and be effective in our prayer. Every single one of us can have an effect on the person next to you, have an effect on this body, have effect on the neighborhood that we live in and the cities and the world. You need to see bigger pictures like God does. You need to start understanding and praying for the heart of God so that you know exactly what it is that He wants done, so that you can start to pray for those. And when you start to seek His will, then you will see answers to your prayers. You know, the world, when you look back at, you know, that the statement from the world, that how can God love you when he condemns you to suffering in hell? You know, one of the truth is that really He did give Adam and Eve paradise. That paradise was to be passed down to us and all things. And yet, because of sin, and you know what, I'm not pointing the finger at Adam and Eve, because you know what, if we were there, we would probably done the same thing. But the fact is that He gave us paradise. We are the ones that are creating the suffering. Man is creating suffering. Who is causing the death and disruption and the theft and all of the lust and the stealing and all of that? It's us. It's our hearts, because we have not aligned ourselves with God. So you can't blame God for something that we are responsible for. Amen? You know, but they'll justify themselves with these kinds of questions and really ignore the gift of eternal life. If we focus on the fact that we have eternity promised to us, that gives us reason to go on. Amen? Our first prayer. What should our first prayer be if you're a new Christian, or even if you're been serving God for a while? Our first prayer is always to continually establish a greater relationship with God. We should be seeking God in everything. We should be looking to God for all that He has to offer and what He wants from us. We need to confirm in our prayer that we are on God's side, and that we understand His word, and that we seek His will. Every prayer should bring excitement and expectation. You know, sometimes when I prayed dutifully. I realized that sometimes in the past I've looked at prayer, and some prayer request comes up, and I'll say, Father, just heal them now. Father, we just ask for a complete healing. Anymore, when I'm praying, I go and I feel like I put myself before the feet of Christ, before the feet of God, and I pray with expectation. I pray with an understanding and belief that anything that I ask, God can deliver, if it's in His will. And you know, there are many things, and we pray for people, and we do this, and we don't see the salvation. But you know something? There are people that we pray for that need to turn their hearts to God too. And maybe the suffering or whatever they're going through. And I remember Pastor Don was talking about this last Sunday, where, you know, he went to the hospital to pray for somebody else, got off on the wrong floor and prayed for somebody he didn't want to pray for. Okay? But he was there at that moment, and this guy was a rough, gruff individual who, if you remember the story, he didn't think would ever receive Christ, and yet when he went there, went into his room and prayed for him, he received the Lord. And you know, we need to believe, we need to know that no matter what the circumstances we're up against, that we can have an impact on somebody, somewhere. You know, I remember there was a story I've talked about before, I always want to say sword and a switchblade, but it was a story about a man who was called by God to go to New York. He lived in some small town. Crossing a switchblade, that's right. Yeah. He was called to go to New York to pray to because he was led in prayer to go there because somebody needed to be saved. He didn't know who it was, but then when he got there, he realizes that it was the leader of a gang. And he was so relentless because God told him to be there that he would not let this guy go in spite of the fact that he almost tried to kill him and threatened to kill him, beat him up, and threw him out in the street. And yet he did not quit because God told him. That man became saved and he became a preacher in New York City. And so, you know, when I'm saying that, you know, our prayer life needs to be strengthened in our faith in God, that when he speaks to us, that we can do those kinds of things, that we can make those moves and realize that he can because he is God. Amen? And until we get to that place where we realize that he can because he is God, then we will struggle with our faith and believing in him that these prayers can be answered. We must realize that there are a lot of spiritual forces that we must overcome, and that it is only through prayer and diligence to know God's will that will help us. Prayer, the second struggle is prayer not according to God's will. And in 1 John 5:14-15, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for." You know, usually we focus on the second half of that. That whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for. Instead of the first half, which says according to his will. Understanding God's will is important. You know, all our prayers begin with needy requests. If you're a new Christian, you know, you've been told that, you know, pray and ask for God to do whatever. But still, I say, before you start to pour into just that, always pour in to try to understand what is it that God wants in your life. What is he trying to do to you that you're not willing to sacrifice yet, that you're not willing to give up? Because those are the struggles. And I'll tell you, there's Christians in here in this body, and there's Christians who have been serving God for 30, 40 years who have still not given up something that God's pressing in them. And it's a little bit of a stumbling block, but it's not the end. Because we can all overcome everything so that we become more effective in our prayer life. We get more into the will of God. People are drawn to pray when disaster or some life trial hits, like 9/11, for example. Family issues, wars, you know. We'll pray for frivolous things, which I look at and when I think about, you know, we'll pray for a house, we'll pray for a mortgage, we'll pray for job, car, and finances. I always like to go back to the fact that, you know, we can pray for things for ourselves, but God, in all knowledge, knows what we need. And so when we serve him, you know, we'll find that the things that we thought we needed become less of an issue. And the things of God become greater. And when we start to serve God, that's when God will give us all of the needs that we need to fulfill what we have been called to do. And you will find that you don't desire the things that you thought you desired in your flesh, because now God has provided you with a new desire. Now, some of us may be afraid of that new desire. I'll tell you, you know, that's maybe some of the struggle that we have, is submitting ourselves to God because we're afraid that we're going to have to give something up. I remember somebody that I was speaking to was when we were talking about prayer and missions, and they said, "I'm afraid that if I pray for that he'll send me," you know, because they really did not want to go on a mission trip. And so, you know, yes, we have these issues that we have to overcome in our hearts. But the fact of the matter is that I will tell you that I never, ever desired to be up here preaching. But you know what? God has given, He's changed my heart. He's changed the way I approach this whole idea of this fear that I have of being up here. And still, you know, and I don't want to beat that bush all the time, but I'm just trying to let you know that saying yes to the things that you're uncomfortable with puts you closer into the will of God when you're serving Him. Because when you don't let yourself address your fears and your trials and those struggles that you have in your life, if you don't say yes to those struggles, you will never maybe move forward to the gift that God wants or that He's placed in you. Amen? And I've kind of stated this, but our prayer should not revolve around the needs of our flesh, but around the needs of our spirit and of God's will. You know, we need to build our spirit person up. We need to grab a hold of who that person is that we have dwelling inside of us that is connected to God, so that we can connect it to God. Because our flesh will always resist what the Spirit wants. And there's a scripture on that, you know, that we will always try to figure out how we can preserve what the flesh needs. And the spirit man suffers and gets thirsty and hungry, and then we struggle in our walk with God. It says in James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So that goes along with, you know, feeding our flesh versus feeding our spirit man. Our prayers cannot be vindictive or vengeful. In Luke 9:53-56, it says, but they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you not want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. This is we've been in our prayer groups. We're always praying for people who are offensive and who come against the church or whatever it is. We're always praying for people. It is not our position to say, God, bring fire down upon them, make them yield. It's not our place. God wants us to bless them. God wants us to give them the benefit of His doubt, His love. We are not here to condemn people. We are here to bring them into the body of Christ and to show them how to learn to love God. If we don't know that yet, then we're not going to be as effective in converting souls as we need to be. And that's part of your prayer life. Lord, how can I be more effective? Lord, how can I do this to make someone understand how much I love you? If you don't love the Lord, your prayer should be, Lord, show me how to love you more. And the best way to do that is pray, Lord, show me how much you love me. And the way that you become more, you're strengthened in that, is you start to get thankful for the things that you have. Amen? How many do we go through the day and we complain all day long about our boss? But we forget to say, you know what, thank you, Lord, I have a job. You know? I know someone who, and prayer is something that she has said to me all along. I pray to God, but He doesn't answer. You know, her whole focus is on herself. Everything that she does is, God, why doesn't He answer me? Why doesn't He give me this? Why am I always getting the bad part of everything and everybody else gets blessed? You know? Well, it's because you're totally focused. Your prayer is totally focused on you. It has nothing to do with God's will. And we get that way. I get it. Your flesh, you are still dealing with your flesh. Trust me. when I say, you're no different than me, or Pastor John, or Pastor Don, or Bob especially. Well, pick on Bob. Now, what about Bob? But anyway, you know, it's important that we understand that this flesh is going to seek its own satisfaction. And it's the spirit man that gives us peace. It's the spirit that releases us from bondage. But we don't see that. And that's why when Paul was in jail, he worshiped and praised the Lord. And even when he was in jail, the chains were broken. So with us. If we praise and worship God in everything, the chains will be broken. You just need to give him a chance. Stop thinking about what woe is me, you know, and think about how can I start to serve God, because that's where the real joy of life comes. You don't realize how I'm blessed when I'm praying for somebody and they start to break down and they cry because I've hit the mark, and they tell me that I've hit the mark. You know, there's nothing greater than hearing the Spirit pray for somebody so that they get release, that they can get understanding. Now, still, they have to take that and utilize it. That's a choice that you have to make. You choose which way in life you're going to go. Are you going to continue to follow the flesh, or are you going to try to really understand what the Spirit is all about? You know, you can't explain spiritual things any more than you can explain love. You can't explain your emotions. Try to explain somebody why you love somebody, why you hate another. You just can't do it. But it's there, and that spirit, man, is part of you. It's there. You just need to dig it out. You know, when we've done that scripture, the apostles didn't truly understand Jesus' purposes at that point. And we are there too, many of us. We don't understand God's purpose. We're still seeking. We're still looking. The closer, the more we dig in, the more we get out of it. It's like anything else. I mean, I've been went out and played racquetball with some of the guys here, but you know, when you first go and you start to play, you know you don't know how much you can do. You know, especially the first time out. But it's you keep trying, you keep going, and the more you go, the stronger you get, and the more you're able to do. Well, the same thing in the spiritual. It's a work. It's a work in progress. You have to do what you need to do to get that job. If you're to do the work in the spirit, to get the spirit man noticed in your own heart, you know, you'll do anything for a job, right? You'll study. I mean, I trained to become an insurance agent. I went through the whole study course. If you're a lawyer, you went through law school. You did whatever it took to do that. We need to start to change our mindset to do whatever it takes to understand that spirit self. Amen? So how do we find God's will? Well, Daniel gives us a good example. In Daniel 9:3, it says, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer, in petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes." I don't even know where to get sackcloth and ashes. I mean, it's like, but you know, back in the day, I guess that was a way that people humbled themselves before God. And I believe the hardest part, or hardest thing for us to do, is not just to humble ourselves in the presence of God, but to put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, we are so busy with life that we have a difficult time putting ourselves in that place to understand his will. And it could be because we have sin. We don't want to, you know, that's the way Adam and Eve hid behind a bush, you know. But God loves us in spite of it. You know what? No one here is without sin. And it is something that we all still, who are still serving, we all serve God with a determination to eliminate whatever is holding us back. And that's the path we take. Not that we quit or give up. It's that we take that and we put ourselves in the presence of God so that he can reveal to us what needs to be changed. But if we don't put ourselves in the presence of God, then it's a prayer without connection. There's nothing that will come of it. because we need his authority to carry out the request. I've got the next one here is not willing to do the work necessary. When we pray, we go to God as a creator that will provide all our needs without doing anything to help. We expect to get God to do the work for us. We want him to take away our lusts, evil desires, while we sit idly by. I mean, you know, we constantly want God to deliver us from things without making any conscious choice. God's not going to do that. And sometimes he will. And I think the example, a good example of when God delivers somebody from something is because he knows your heart. He knows at that point that you will change, that you are going to change, and that you are going to make the attempt, and he will take that from you, that you're going to follow him. You know, there's some people that, I remember a story of someone who was going to pray out that his wife was dying, and he prayed that, hey, Lord, if you save her, I will serve you. Well, God knew probably that he wasn't going to serve anyway. But regardless, those aren't the kind of prayers that we need to pray. We need to find God first. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Amen? And that's the same thing spiritually. God knows all of our sins. In Psalm 98, it says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sin in the light of your presence. God knows everything you think you're hiding. When you come to realize that and you really want to serve God, you will stop. You will give it up. Prayer is not so much affected by the fact that we have sin, because we all do. Rather, it is affected by our unwillingness to address it. You know, this is a path that we're on, and our flesh will get in the way many, many times. It'll get in the way sometimes so many times that it'll frustrate us. But the truth is that as long as we get back on the path, you know, and we ask God for forgiveness, we remain righteous to make that prayer effective. God will protect his own honor above those who sin in secret. And, you know, a good example of that would be David. You know, David, you know, he murdered and committed adultery. But God exposed that. A couple of more recent past events, Jimmy Swaggart and Jimmy Baker. Those hidden sins were exposed. Funny thing was, is one was accusing the other while the one was doing it. But, you know, the fact is that, you know what, and those sins ride their legacy for eternity. Look at, we're still talking about David's sin. But still, David was a man of God. Amen? We cannot blame God for not listening when we are unwilling to do the work necessary to remain righteous. We want to blame God because we don't want to take responsibility. So how do we find God's will? In Daniel 9:3, it says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I said that before. Our prayer is effective in our weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12:8-10, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong. How many of us can actually say that we feel stronger when we're being attacked? And yet that's what Paul was saying here. You attack me. You throw me in jail. You beat me. I will be back. Now, fourth one I have here is prayer is ineffective because of unforgiveness. And I'm going to have to run through this because this is probably a whole session teaching on its own. But I'm going to talk a little bit about this because I think it's important. In 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, it says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." You know, there is righteous versus unrighteous anger, too. And in righteous anger, in my humble understanding, is when we are defending the righteousness of God. Unrighteous anger is any anger that does not promote God's righteousness, usually man's ungodly anger. It says in Matthew 18:34-35, it's a Jesus parable about the unmerciful servant. And if you know, the king had forgiven the servant all of his debt, and yet he went back to someone who owed him debt and demanded it from him and threw him in jail because he couldn't pay it. And in 34:35, it says, "In anger, after he found this out, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." And he's talking about the jailer that he forgave the debt. "And this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart." As God has forgiven us, we should forgive each other. I've said in the past that forgiveness is for you, and I want to clarify that. What I am not saying is that you release anyone from their obligation to do what is right. And if somebody has offended, their obligation is to come and ask for forgiveness for that. But what I am saying is that we are responsible for our own righteousness, and that the continued growth of those who are placed near us. So when we forgive, when you forgive someone, it does four things. It takes the anguish and the anger from you and gives you peace. It allows you to continue functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. It prepares your heart to forgive them when they realize what they have done and they ask for forgiveness. Now, how many times, as a matter of fact, I've got some statements. I think I'm going to skip through those, but just state that that people come up to you and ask for forgiveness, and you said, "You're forgiven, but I don't want anything to do with you." That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is forgetting, like God has forgiven us. If someone has asked for forgiveness, we need to learn how to forgive them and forget. If they continually sin against you, then you know what? Bring them to the elders of the church. But your purpose is to get them restored, because if somebody is offending you, they're not right with God. And our purpose is to help them get right with God. Our love of God says we love them enough that we are going to allow our forgiveness in our hearts so that we can help them and show them, and that's the next, show them how to forgive. We are the example. We are Christ's example. And so when we can forgive them, then, and even though they may not even ask for forgiveness, if we can forgive them in our hearts, it allows us to still be gentle and cordial towards them, waiting. And our prayer would be, "God, break their hearts so that they will see what they are doing." But the fourth thing is that it adds to your righteousness. When you can forgive somebody else, you become righteous. And what's the scripture? That the prayers of a righteous man are effective, are powerful and effective. And we want our prayers to be effective. It's by God's grace a Christian can forgive so that the bitterness is erased from every memory and brings us peace. To be effective in prayer and in restoring our brothers and sisters to Jesus, that's part of the reasons behind forgiving people, so that we can bring them back into the fold and back to the Lord. And in conclusion, I'm going to finish with Daniel 10:12. It says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourselves before your God, your words were heard." You realize it was just not a mindset that Daniel tried to gain understanding to humble himself. It was a heart issue that God, because of his relationship with Daniel, knew was sincere. Daniel's prayers were answered because he knew God and God knew his heart. If we want our prayers to be answered and be effective, we must seek understanding and humble ourselves. It is our heart. If our heart is with God, like Daniel, our words will be heard. If it's not worth waiting for, it's not worth asking for. Patience is important. Anything can happen. 10 years, 20 years down the road, we've prayed for people. I've had people say, "I've been praying for them," and on their deathbed, they gave over. That's like Pastor Don with the gentleman. Do not give up. God will answer prayer if it's in his will and righteous. And we need to see the bigger picture and everything. We can't think one way and our heart be different. God knows our heart and responds to prayers according to his will. Amen? All right, have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to hear your word, to listen to it, Father, and be obedient to it. Father, I just pray that everyone here, Father God, will increase their awareness and their diligence in prayer, Father. And that not just individually, but even corporately, Father God. I pray that the corporate prayer groups, Father God, would get larger. That, Father God, that we will be more effective, and Father God, that we will bring this church, Father, into the needs of the community and all things, Lord, that we will be able to pray in, Father, those services, Father, that are needed, and Father, that the hearts of your people, Father, be willing to work. We thank you, Father, for all things. We ask your blessing upon this day and all who are here. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm forgiven because you were